All right, well, welcome here. We will begin. Thanks for your interest in grades. I guess it is true. You didn't have many other options if you want to take a board-related topic, so I understand. This is drilling down into a specific function of school, whereas this morning we were sort of talking about more the macro view. Today it's this topic is more of a micro type of function. So a good mountain climber, I'm told, has both the micro and macro view. In other words, he's saying, I'm headed there, and he sees that peak way out in the distance. That's a long-range vision. That's a little bit more what we were talking about, some overarching things this morning. But the hiker, the mountain climber, also needs to be concerned about where he sets his foot in each individual step. And that's a little bit more the nature of this topic. It's easy to sit back and relax in this matter, grading, and say, well, the teachers will take care of this. No news is good news. Don't rock the boat. This is something the teachers can do without our help. We don't want to be meddling. And all those things are sort of kind of true. These are attitudes and positions that do work well much of the time and in many situations. I'm going to suggest that this afternoon you might hear some things, we might discuss some things you don't want to have happen at your school, right? And things that if the board had been a little more on top of it, why their intervention could have prevented some difficulty. So to try to help us understand the lay of the land of grading, we're going to discuss the function of grading. We're going to drill into it perhaps a little bit deeper than what board people often do. And again, thanks for your interest. My ideas about grading the first year that I taught needed some help. And I'm glad to say that my board gave me some help. There was a board member there that just was a continual encouragement to me and just had a way of nudging me along and working through the things that were of a frustration to me. I believe the board does share responsibility in grading. So to illustrate that, I read, maybe you heard as well, about the school district in Georgia here a few years ago that were inflating their grades. Why would a school district on management level ask for inflated grades? Well, it has a lot of effects. It makes everybody look good, drives up the real estate, all sorts of things like that, right? And we like good grades. We do. I know one school board bringing it a little closer home. This happened in a Mennonite community that around February, the teacher they discovered was always deducting 1% for each one that the students got wrong. Just never count the points, just deduct 1%. And so, in other words, if the students had 3 wrong, it would have been a 97. If they had 4 wrong, it was a 96. 21 wrong was a 79, and so on. Right? Easy way to grade, right? If that would have happened in your school, would have you felt any responsibility? Yeah? Well, good. Maybe we can close up and go to another class. Right? The students thought they were doing great. The school had never been easier. They were on fast track, though, to becoming academic couch potatoes, right? And the mop-up and getting things straightened out again, how would you like to untangle that one? I personally wouldn't, right? What do you do? What about teachers maybe who are using math properly? In other words, they were statistically generating mathematically pure grades, but yet they were in a ditch of maybe grading too easy. You don't need to count that one wrong. You're kind of close enough when there's judgment call required. Or maybe they were grading too hard. What about a situation, would you be okay with your teacher using a poor score as a punishment for a totally unrelated activity? So there was misbehavior on the playground, and because of that, we're going to give you a failing grade in math. Well, maybe you don't hire those kind of teachers. Well, good for you. But maybe you do. See, let's be aware. If the teacher or the instructions, well, the teacher, let's say, gave the instructions to circle all the answers in math. So they're working on the worksheet and they circle the answer when they're done, and the student did not circle the answer, so they always count it wrong. Are you okay with that? That's grading too hard, isn't it? Right? There's other ways to get the students to cooperate. If an I isn't dotted on a spelling test, do boards need to get involved in that? Well, sometimes they do. And they get involved when the patrons come and say, we didn't have problems before in school, this student didn't, and now we have difficulties. Right? Grading is nuanced. Teachers sometimes need coached. So when we're around our teachers and when we're operating our schools, why, mind those little bells that start ringing. Find out if it's something deeper going on or not, right? Check in with the teacher if students are failing their tests or if they're scoring extremely high. But all this suggests, of course, you're going to know the grades, what the grades are, right? So any comments up to this point? The first principle, by the way, for grading is stay involved, right? Be alert. Just don't let the thing go by and say no news is good news. Right, we'll take breaks from time to time, just as we're taking now. If you have any further comment, want to get the highlighter and go over something, well, here's your opportunity. Any question, comment?
Is the grading process somewhat related to the integrity of the teacher? How, what do you think about that?
Say on just a bit. I would have tended to couch it a little bit more on here's somebody that doesn't quite understand what they're doing, maybe isn't thinking enough, right? It becomes an integrity issue. Yes, if we're like in the Georgia school, that's definitely an integrity issue where we have decided on a management level that we're going to push grades up. I don't think that's happening in our communities. It was just sort of a point of entry. And in that regards, it is a slippery thing. Because we are up against some personality issues. That's very correct, Jason. All right, well, let's move on. We'll give time along the way, or you can certainly put your hand in the air. Here's some issues the board should be aware of and be involved in. I think we need to back up a little bit and begin with what are the goals for grading? Why do we give grades in school anyway? What's your response on that? It's a way to measure progress. That's exactly right.
Can I ask another question?
Sure. So you're thinking of all the effort that goes into grading.
I'm thinking about the goals.
Okay.
How do you know at school that your teachers aren't spending too much time and you're not getting enough out of it to justify the time?
So here's a question. Did you hire somebody to teach or to check and score?
We hired to do both.
Hired to do both, yeah. I would say that the teacher title is probably master of the checker scoring function, right? The one is a function of the other, right? Well, I guess I'm thinking when I think about that comment of teaching versus checking, it is obviously true that we learn by our mistakes, right? And we must be learning by our mistakes. That's part of any sound educational program. It's certainly sound of any business endeavor, right? If we're not learning from our mistakes, why, we're destined to repeat the same ones. So part of the learning process is absolutely scoring. But I had a friend of mine who just got all wadded up in the checking, and he actually had to exit the classroom because he wore himself out checking. And that's the kind of thing that I think Lauren is trying to maybe address. When are we getting out of balance? Is it possible to be out of balance? I think it is. That board of which I speak, of the teacher of which I speak, his board did actually try to help him steer away from getting hung up on too much investment in the scoring process. Right? You can bury your plow in this function, even though it is part of an essential part of the teaching process. How do you correct it if it is happening? It's probably, what do you think? Probably not going to happen so much in math and very objective grading. It's going to be happening when it comes to grading essays and grading essay-type questions on history tests and that type of thing. I think one of the things that that board member that helped me through some of this in my early years, one of the things that he told me, which was very helpful, and I did it every year that I taught, is he would say, if you have an essay to grade or you have an essay-type question, he said, decide beforehand what you're going to be looking for. In other words, come up with a mini rubric first, okay, so that if the question is what were the events that led up to the Civil War, well, you must have 5 of the 40. Okay, 5 solid reasons stated. If you have 5, you have it. But if you don't establish some of that kind of thing, that's where some of us, especially with perfectionist tendencies, we just get overwhelmed. Right? Are you in, again, I'm back to the original point of entry here, are we in touch enough to even know that that kind of thing's going on? I want to drive that point pretty hard that it's really easy for boards just to assume that no news is good news. And then we end up, by that, assuming that attitude, we end up choosing whether or not we're going to operate by the fence at the top of the cliff or the ambulance down in the valley. Right? Take your pick. It's much better to be proactive, not only in grading. Is there more that you have to share about what do we do if we feel like a teacher's becoming consumed with the grading process? How do we know that this has a double-sided coin here. So sometimes I felt as a teacher that I'd go to all this work and stay up late to get the report cards out, and nobody cared. The only feedback that I got whatsoever on report cards, a whole set of report cards, was a signature on the back that I knew that the parents at least signed it. But you got the impression that the board didn't care, you got the impression the parents didn't care, you got the impression the students didn't care. How can we engage? Are those three parties ones that should care about grades? How do we engage? Talking about how do we engage is making the students care, making the parents care, making the board care. Well, with the board, we... Go ahead.
Previously, as a parent, I didn't understand what was going on. It was above my head. And I felt dumb to go ask what this means. Mm-hmm. Now, as a part of the system, I'm thinking there probably are some parents that feel that way. Mm-hmm. And so even the point for this class for me as well is to understand it well enough to make it interesting for the mm-hmm. parent in a parent orientation or some sort of mm-hmm. to kindle that interest. Because I'm exactly where you said the signature on the back. They know what they're doing, and you just blindly trust.
When I taught school, at the first school where I taught especially, had a very caring and nurturing board. They told me specifically there's 3 areas they want discussed in every parent-teacher interview. And one of those, guess what, was grades, right? They wanted grades discussed, right? And so we did, okay? But they led me into that, right? That's your job, to lead your teachers into those functions that you're expecting them to do. Just don't assume that it's going to happen, right? Another thing that I did as a teacher to get students to care about their grades, and maybe this is something you may want to encourage your teachers to do, especially in the upper grades, I gave each student a form that said report card evaluator, And so at the end of the marking period, they would get their report card, and then they had to fill in blanks about the data that was in there. Okay, so I knew at least it was going in the eye through the brain out the pencil, right, which was kind of comforting, right? And we had an interview with them then where we would look at that together, right, where they would tell me my highest score is in thus and so, my lowest score is in thus and so, my goal to raise my lowest score to thus and so, you know, by the next marking period and so on. My report card average is thus and so. Another thing that I felt very cared for as a teacher when I taught at schools where the board would ask, we want a copy of the report cards. They were there asking for them. Okay? So whenever we did the report cards and we had them all ready to stuff in the envelopes, before we stuffed them in the envelopes, they had provided a copier that had one of those racks on the top. You could clunk, clunk, and then staple the paper and give it to the board. Right? And what they did with them, I don't know, but I know that when I sat on the board and got those papers, well, we looked at them, right? We talked about them. We discussed them. Oftentimes, I find that teachers, they come and talk to you, or you expect them to talk in faculty meetings, board meetings, however you have it structured. And you're not going to talk about all the things that are going well. You're going to talk about the problem students, right? And you end up with frequent flyers. You always talk about these, and it gets a little bit doleful sometimes, right? But then you get the report card. Well, that's not so bad, right? It's part of getting the whole picture. Some of the ways that teachers tend to go, right? They're thinking about the problems. They want to see improvement, but it's like growing grass. They don't see improvement because it's so slow and so on. Right. More thoughts, questions, comments?
That's a really good point, I think. We've not done that where I'm at, but I think that would be good for the board to actually see the report card. You could compare what was and see what is now. And like you said, the frequent flyer, and that has happened to me. I know that.
Right.
But we didn't have anything to look at except what the teacher said.
Right.
And so sometimes you need other eyes to see where that student is going. I really like that.
I remember sometimes telling teachers, or the board telling the teachers, hey, you know what? This is improvement. This is good. And they're like, well, yeah. That's good. I appreciate you mentioning that. There's another method, being actually more proactive in looking at them first before they go home. And again, I tend to think a lot as a teacher. I guess I've spent more years as a teacher than I have a board member. But again, I remember as a teacher the board doing exactly what Joel said and saying, you know, this report card does have two sides. You're only using the one side. Let's get more on the other side. Well, for you, it would be the right side they were concerned about, right? You know what's on the right side of the report card? Sometimes it says deportment, all right, or conduct, and there's all sorts of fancy slices of student function there, that there's spaces there for pluses and minuses. And as one board member told me, question marks. I said, sometimes I think maybe it needs a minus, but I'm not sure. Well, they said they use a question mark. And it was really a nice tool, and I love question marks now over there, right? Because I like to think of a dad sitting down on the couch with a junior and open up the report, question mark, and the eyebrows, I'm sure, go up, right? Not original with me. It came from the board. You understand how grades are made, right? You understand how to statistically generate a grade. I don't think we're going to go over that. But that teacher who had been doing minus 1% per problem wrong, she needed some teaching. She knew how to use the easy grader and so on. Right? So maybe you're concerned about micromanaging. I'm guessing most of us are, right? How can we keep a finger in the wind without being overbearing, without micromanaging? And I think I just back up to the point that we were making. If your school has a policy that we want to see a report card, a copy of the report card every marking period, that's just the way we do things around here. I mean, why then? You can keep a finger in the wind without them feeling that we're being invasive because of maybe some squawking that we heard somewhere. You know what I mean? So that's really one good way to do it. But do you have more thought about how can boards, you know, give teachers their space but still stay in touch with grades? So that's great. If there's a question that comes up, say, well, do you know someone that you can call and find out how they do it over there? And let the teacher make the call. Those all, that would certainly be a good way to handle that. I like that idea. Maybe another thing is just keep your ear to the ground in relation to what the patrons are saying, right? So if a patron comes and says, you know, my first grader came home and he had the entire paper counted wrong because he circled instead of underlined. Are you okay with that? You're just going to shrug it off and say, well, I stuck up for the teacher. Well, think about that little tender first grader that got every single problem wrong because they made one mistake of not following directions. Now, we want our students to follow directions, right? But let's just keep our ear to the ground in those types of situations. Or if a patron says, you know, we are really having a hard year. Used to be that my student didn't have a problem succeeding in school. Now, alarm bell, right? Might want to dig into it a little bit. You might want to just ask them some questions, ask the patron, do you see anything that is going on with the grading? Have you been looking at the work? Do you know what's going on, type of thing? Yes. Yeah, I don't really have that worked in. We may as well just look at that question right now. How often should a board visit?
Maybe along with that, how should the board visit?
How should the board visit? Well, I know what I think, but I'm not sure what you all think, but I know as a teacher there were times I felt cared for, right? And there were times I didn't feel cared for. I actually felt cared for when the board wanted me to give them their report card grades. I'm back to that subject again, right? I felt more cared for when a board had the policy that we're going to have some board member visit the school in action between every board meeting. Well, if you have a board meeting every 6 months, that's not going to work, but we had monthly board meetings in that community, right? So the board member would come to visit between that. I felt cared for. Yes?
I think my observation is that board members ought to visit in school and they ought to visit after school.
Both.
Not at the same time necessarily.
Right. That's right. The The school that I felt the most cared for, and this probably varies with personality a bit, but the school where I felt the most cared for was where we had that visiting between board meetings. Every other Friday afternoon, we had a faculty meeting where the principal and a revolving board member would come in, and we'd sit down and we'd talk about the stuff that's a grief to us, right? And then the teachers also went to the board meetings for the first little bit. We were expected to be there. The particulars of how often you visit isn't maybe the biggest question. The bigger question is, do your teachers feel cared for? Do they feel supported, right? And getting unfiltered feedback about that is probably to your best interest as a board. Really? Yeah. Weekly.
It can be like that, like you said. The teachers need to be feel cared for.
Right.
You can have weekly staff faculty meetings and the teachers still feel cared for.
Yeah, that's true. All right, go ahead, Kenley.
Just a question. Board meeting happens. Teachers there. How's it going? It's great. What's a good question to draw out? What focus is on grading here? To draw out, what was the last month's grading feeling?
Mm-hmm. How can we actually get into a meaningful discussion about grades if you feel like, yeah. Well, we're kind of talking about two things in some regards. We're a very specific scenario, but the other is where this is not an uncommon thing where boards want to be closer to the teachers, and it just isn't there. I tend to think that a lot of this is couched in culture. What kind of culture do you want at school? And then you're going to have to take proactive steps to get that culture. Like that thing of where I told you that we had faculty meeting every other Friday. We had a board meeting once a month. We had a board visitor in the middle between the boards and so on. At that community, the board moved the date for the board meeting, and it landed where they moved it to, landed on an evening where all of us young couples were going to get together and have a hot dog roast in somebody's fireplace in the middle of winter. This was, and I was really looking forward to this. Hot dogs are very important to me. And being with other couples are too, right? And then they went and had the audacity to move a board meeting to that evening. And so I told our principal, I said, I'm sorry, I guess I won't be able to be there. And he had the audacity again to say, so what are you doing? And I said, I'm jolly well roasting hot dogs, right? And he told me, he said, you'll be at the board meeting. And I was. But what was he doing? Denying me of a hot dog? Yes, but he was establishing culture, okay? I don't know about how it is in your community, but this thing of actually establishing an evening that suits is becoming incredibly difficult, right, as the decades go by and our lives go faster and faster. Right? Our priorities are showing. And sorry, Kenley, but I'm not targeting you. My own gut feel is that if we're having problems talking with our teachers, we have a culture issue. We have a culture issue that starts about right now. See, what is it, August? Okay. Let's get out the gate. Let's get out the chute right. And the rest of the rodeo, it will be determined by some of these early interactions that we have. Right. More comment. If you have the policy that the grades come in, right? You have the culture.
How do you keep that from, especially personality, how do you keep that from bumping the grades up? Predisposition to grade is here at the day. And you're asking for the grade.
this is hard to steer. That's a hard question. So we have a teacher that's not grading hard enough. But I'm sorry, maybe you weren't done.
No, I just.
Yeah.
I know teachers that would take that.
Yeah. I know teachers like that too. Well, I will say that one of the things that happened at this meeting when we had this, the teacher's counterpart to this workshop, I tried to drill into the teachers that what we're not trying to do with grades is we're not trying to curry friendship. And this is the point right here. This is the point at which the teacher being an adult in a world of juveniles and the teacher being a friend differs from peer type friendships. Right, so I put a plug in there for you, Jason, and I tried to shake my finger a little bit, tried to get emphatic about it, so that was at least one step. Now, if it's happening in your school, what are we going to do? Is it too invasive to tell a teacher, well, listen, you've been struggling, we heard several times, I'm trying to get stern. Now, listen, maybe you don't want to say those words, but I'm trying to create a scenario. We've been hearing from you that your students are having problems following directions. You're going to have to put some teeth in this. And we'll check in with you, but for the next X amount of weeks, you will need to count it wrong if they're not following directions. Is that too harsh? Is that too invasive? It depends, huh? Okay, sure, it depends. It's an idea. I think that we need to understand our job as boards. And our job as boards is to direct. And I will just give my unvarnished testimony that if I would not have had a board that was directing me in the early days of my teaching, I would have been the average length teacher. But I wasn't the average length teacher because I had boards that were concerned about my success. Okay, and they told me stuff. And it wasn't always nice stuff. Right? But I saw them as pushing me up. Right? So, yeah, I go ahead and get involved and give the direction if they're grading too soft. Yes. There are two sides to the coin on that whole argument, as many of these other things that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think it becomes very nuanced. You can have a teacher that marks it wrong, means it wrong. It marks a half wrong, means it wrong. It marks one wrong for the lesson that you just caused.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the grades are ending up being a little nuanced.
Right. Right. This whole matter of grades, it's a little bit like the dashboard in our cars and trucks. I know a friend of mine one time had a flat tire by the interstate on a bus he was driving, and a policeman pulled in behind and wondered if he needs help, and it ended up that my friend went for a ride in the police car. But that police car, that policeman had gotten a piece of, looked like black plastic garbage bag, and stuffed his dashboard right where the gauges were, just stuffed that full of garbage bags so he couldn't see anything. Right? Does that sound wise to you? So do grades matter? Right? Are grades a dashboard? Okay. See, what did Warren Buffett say? Every winner knows that that games are not won by watching the scoreboard. Right? But if you don't have scores in softball or soccer, whatever it is, You can't play that way very well either, right? So in all things, balance. I'd like to talk a little bit about consistency in grading. I do think it's the board's responsibility to try to promote a measure of consistency in your school. Would you be satisfied if one of your teachers is taking daily grades and using those to develop a report card grade and another is not? The other is only recording quizzes and tests. Does that sound okay to you? I don't think it should be. Let's have a school policy. That's what I'm suggesting. And your school policy, that's one of the main frames of your school policy. What are you going to do with daily work grades? And just to give you the lay of the land, as I see it, the view from my small hill, is that most of our schools today, most of the teachers coming into our schools today, well, number one, they're coming from all over the place, right? You can get a teacher from North Carolina to teach in Oregon and vice versa. But most of our students today, the majority of their curriculum has either been Rod and Staff or Christian Light. And there's some outliers to that for sure. But both of those curriculum providers have a different assumption about what you're going to do with daily grades. See? And culture develops around this. And strong culture. I've actually heard scripture being quoted for both sides of this debate. And I would rather we reserve our scriptures for more important issues. But I'm just saying, I've heard it. We have strong feelings about whether or not we should keep daily grades or not, whether or not we should. And expect your teachers to have opinions about it. And occasionally teachers come to me and say, these folks that I've hired on with, they expect me to keep daily grades. I mean, can you imagine? I just don't know that I can process all this data. I thought I was hired to be a teacher, right? And I try to calm the waters and say, look, people have been doing this for hundreds of years. You just aren't familiar with it, all right? So it's your job to follow the leader, your leader, and so on, right? Don't get pushed around by this. Decide how you're going to do it and then do it. And if you allow yourself to get pushed around by this, your parents are not going to follow very well anymore, right? Because parents have culture too, all right? And they have predispositions. And finally, at the end of the day, statistically, I have tracked this. It does not matter, really. At the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference. So you can't really say, well, you know, logically or scripturally speaking, right? But it is kind of a strange thing that we develop such strong mindset about this. So give direction to that. Another thing I would suggest you give direction to is if you're going to keep those daily grades, your institution can at least be deciding how much that daily grade figures into the report card average, okay? And
I think of it a little bit like this. We have our tests and probably quizzes as well, right? That average, then we have our daily work. Right? Somehow we're going to blend those two. Oftentimes, communities that keep daily grades, it's a 50-50. So you get this average, you get this average, add them together, divide by two, you're done, right? Some communities, they're doing it on a 75-25, right? But I think we can at least be statistically pure in our institutions and have us all do it the same. At the end of the day, statistically, again, it really doesn't make much difference. And the reason it doesn't make much difference is because, generally speaking, the average student, 80% of them, the homework grades, the daily grades, and the test grades are not that statistically spread. So because there's not a statistical spread, it really doesn't matter where you're putting in the dipstick if you're getting the same results. But let's at least be pushing the dipstick in the same way. Otherwise, it'd be looking incompetent because we are. Right. I want to talk just a little bit about achievement tests. Yeah, is that okay? I really think that there's a lack of understanding what achievement tests really are, and I'm just going to give you a real high speed. Let's go. Achievement tests are not graded the way
we grade mathematically and statistically, you got 95% correct, one wrong out of 20 problems, right? Instead, it's a norms-based test. So the grade is a percentile, which is totally different than a percentage. Percentile, you know what that is? Ladder, 100 wrongs, 50 is average, right? So if you're a student, do you know what percentile your school is? I think you ought to, right? Because it's statistical evidence of the blessing of the Lord, usually. Okay. Many of our Mennonite schools are operating at a percentile above 80. Many of them are operating at a percentile above 90. Now, that's the California Achievement Test based on norms tables that were developed in the late 60s. Okay. But if you use Troyer software to score your tests, he has developed his own set of norms tables on communities like us. Okay, now I'm really interested in those norms tables, right? Because now if my school has a 50 percentile, well, then I know we're average, right? If it has a 70 percentile, that says something, as opposed to a 30 percentile, okay? So we need to have, I believe every board should have somebody that really takes a deep dive into achievement tests. And I felt cared for when one school came to me and said, Brother Jonathan, we noticed that every year that you taught, your average in your room, your percentile average, has slipped a few points for the last 4 years. I'm serious. I felt cared for because, number one, I didn't even know that they were doing anything with achievement tests, right? Number two, they cared about my professional ability and my success as a teacher. And they said, what do you have to say about that? Because we don't think that's accurate. Well, I didn't know what to think about it, but I realized the more that I thought about it that we had about three grades consecutive that were problem grades, right? And they were beginning to come into my classroom, see? And what I did is instead of using the average, I arranged statistically to find the median. Do you know the difference? So where you rank the data and pick the middle number. In other words, you strip off the top and the bottom number and find the middle. If you use the median, then my class average actually increased every year. And boy, did that save my bacon. But we had a great discussion about it. Right? That was actually my point of entry to achievement tests. Because I know schools that, and up to this point, I was one of those that they have no clue why they're given achievement tests. In fact, I talked to one school recently that said, yeah, we used to give achievement tests, but we quit because we didn't know what we were doing. Nobody knew why. So it was a meaningless function. Everybody sits around, sticks their little finger into their left ear, and that's the way we sit for a while. We nod wisely, okay, now we did achievement tests. Well, that's only going to last so long, right? Any other questions about achievement tests? There is a score in particular called the Academic Development Scale Score. It crosses all levels of test, and the more the student goes further into academic knowledge and understanding, the higher that score becomes. So it's nice when our students gain 50 points a year. That's considered one good, solid year of education. 50-point gain, and this is divided into all that you can do all the tests or the different types of tests. Like if they gain 50 points in spelling or mathematics computation, you know they gained a good solid year. 30 is not all that bad, but you get below 30 and you're not having a weak year, right? So one year we had a seventh grader. Well, she was actually 17 years old. She had done the seventh grade Rodenstaff math book and had a 74%, which 70% passing for Rodenstaff. Technically, she should have been advanced, but as a teacher, I knew there was way too much of my effort into that grade, right? Because I had helped her a lot. And the parents said, look, she's getting older. She's from a homeschooling background. They said, we want her to come to school one more year, and you jolly well make it a good one. I said, well, I think I know how to do that. And it's not putting her into eighth grade math. It's redoing the seventh grade math book, right? That decision was validated when 9 months later, she had gained 167 ADSS points over three good solid years. That's what achievement tests can do for you. You see, it's really hard to quantify some of the stuff that happens at school. It's kind of like growing grass. very slow. But if you can get a good dipstick on it, it can really be good information. Questions, comments? I do want to say this yet. I think that grades play into a larger life principle, and that is we live in a society that really grades maybe don't matter so much anymore. Did you ever hear of equity grading? Equity grading, it has the notion that you don't want to demoralize students with a bad grade. So just this year, this spring, there were several school districts, public school districts, that passed a law that it's illegal for a teacher to give below 50%. Right? Well, that kind of figures the way the rest of society is going, actually. Irresponsibility, no consequence for bad actions, and so on. Well, we as a people of God, we believe that we're going to need for answer for the deeds that were done in the body, right? And somehow, I think that our grading does play into this concept of sowing and reaping and accountability. There's absolutes. And when God's judgment is said, and when God's judgment is done, it is going to be said, and it's going to be done, right? And somehow I think that our grading at school needs to be honoring that larger fact. Thank you very much. Lord bless you.